听力课堂，听 class.com。
Step by step, 2000, book 4, unit 6, matching dreams with education, 2, part 1, warming up. A. You're going to hear a brief news report on high-tech degrees. Listen carefully and fill in one word in each of the following blanks according to what you hear on the tape.
There's a great demand for graduates with high-tech degrees, but fewer students are going for them. A new study by the American Electronics Association found that high-tech degrees declined by 5% between 1990 and 1996. Preliminary findings from 1997 and 1998 indicate the trend is continuing. The association blames the education system, saying that elementary and secondary schools must do more to get students ready to tackle high-tech education. Among the states, California colleges awarded the most high-tech degrees. It also had one of the greatest declines, awarding 1,600 fewer degrees in 1996 than in 1990. Nationwide, the unemployment rate for high-tech careers is extremely low.
B. Listen to a short passage about a study on class size. Write down every word you hear. The passage will be read to you 3 times. First, it will be read at normal speed. Listen and try to understand the meaning. Then, the passage will be read sentence by sentence or phrase by phrase. The third reading will be read at normal speed again.
A decades-long study has found that students in smaller classes do better than students in bigger classes. The study says that students in classes of 13 to 17 pupils have higher grades, better graduation rates, and they are more likely to attend college. It also says that minority and poor students are helped even more. The study involved Tennessee public school students who were randomly placed in 3 class size groups, a regular size of about 25 students. The Clinton administration and Senate Democrats are citing the study in their call for nearly $1.5 billion more for their plan to reduce class size nationwide. A decades-long study has found that students in smaller classes do better than students in bigger classes. The study says that students in classes of 13 to 17 pupils have higher grades. Better graduation rates, and they're more likely to attend college. It also says that minority and poor students are helped even more. The study involved Tennessee public school students who were randomly placed in 3 class size groups. A regular size of about 25 students. The Clinton administration and Senate Democrats are citing the study in their call for nearly $1.5 billion more for their plan to reduce class size nationwide. A decades-long study has found that students in smaller classes do better than students in bigger classes. The study says that students in classes of 13 to 17 pupils have higher grades, better graduation rates, and they're more likely to attend college. It also says that minority and poor students are helped even more. The study involved Tennessee public school students who were randomly placed in 3 class size groups, a regular size of about 25 students. The Clinton administration and Senate Democrats are citing the study in their call for nearly $1.5 billion more for their plan to reduce class size nationwide.
C. Read the following difficult sentences and listen.
We all tend to be night owls around here, so we're more of a night family.
Homeschool advocates say they have cooperatives where a lot of students gather for sports and other activities.
The second thing is, of course, you can document that the media stories have become more favorable.
The information that researchers glean from these tests is the closest thing this country has to a national report card on students' academic progress. Private school students outperform public school students, but math and science scores for private school students have remained flat since 1980.
Part 2. Homeschooling. A. You are going to hear a news report about homeschooling in America. Listen carefully and then complete the following outline.
Serious radioactivity and neon were first introduced to the public. In some cases, the quack would offer to treat patients thousands of kilometers away using radio waves. Another machine called a spectrochrome employed a 1,000-watt lighthouse bulb, a really powerful light, inside a box. A patient sat in front of it in the dark, facing north, stark naked, staring at the light, which was covered by colored filters. Red was said to be good for heart problems, blue for impotence, and so forth. The healer sold more than 10,000 of these. Bob McCoy says the American Medical Association considered a man named Dr. Abrams in
America. Jean Forbes of Alexandria, Virginia, a former actress, a mother of two boys, is one of the new generation of homeschoolers.
I did not know anything about homeschooling, and I was a little leery. I thought it was a bunch of kooks out there, you know, some underground movement that was a little scary. And I was wrong. I also found out that there are probably almost as many reasons for homeschooling as there are homeschoolers. People who have gifted children who are learning disabled, for instance, is a huge growing sector of the homeschool community.
6 years ago, Jean and her husband Jan pulled their boy Aaron out of public school. The boy has dyslexia.
The spine of the Rockies, north from Colorado, the mountains take you into Canada. And there they rise out of the Canadian prairie like a huge craggy wall. In the province of Alberta, the Rockies reach heights of over 12,000 feet. It's not surprising that this area has become home to some of the best rock climbers in the world.
Here at the head of Hart Creek, Barry Blanchard is making his way through an evergreen forest alongside a rushing creek. He's on his way to First Rock, a favorite practice spot for accomplished rock climbers. Blanchard has climbed all over the world, but finds the Canadian Rockies very special.
I guess the situation here is a lot different than a lot of other places. For instance, the Italian Dolomites are very similar geologically to the Rockies.
10 o'clock, you know,
religion. No, we don't. There are homeschoolers I know that do that because that's what's comfortable for them. We don't do that. We have a much more relaxed schedule. We all tend to be night owls around here, so we're more of a night family. So the kids don't get up out of bed even that early. It's almost 10 o'clock now. They probably won't get out of bed for another half hour or so.
And then what happens?
And then we decide, are we doing chores first this morning and then school, or the other way around? So I try to keep it a little more relaxed. I don't use a grading system. If you know this material, we go on. If you don't know it, we try to find a different way of approaching it so that you do learn it.
Any tests?
Occasionally, but not very often.
Jean Forbes has a relaxed approach. In fact, one of the major arguments against homeschooling is that standards set by state laws are too relaxed. Not one state requires parents to have a teacher's certificate or an undergraduate degree. Only 26 states require students take an annual standardized test. Another criticism of homeschooling is the apparent lack of socialization. Critics say the children don't meet enough people outside their families. Homeschool advocates say they have cooperatives, where a lot of students gather for sports and other activities. Jean Forbes, for instance, has 40 students in her drama class. And in some states, the children even have access to public schools. They can use computer rooms, try out for the football team, even sign up for an advanced science course like biology or chemistry. Patricia Lines, a senior research analyst at the U.S. Department of Education, says that in her view, homeschoolers are slowly gaining broad acceptance.
Most Americans, if you look at the Gallup poll on it, most Americans still do not really approve of homeschooling as an educational method, but they do support people's right to try it. And the ratings are going up gradually. The second thing is, of course, you can document that the media stories have become more favorable.
Still, a relatively small percentage of the nation's children are homeschooled. Only about 1.5% of the elementary and secondary school population, according to researchers. The fact is, most American parents, men and women, work outside the home, which obviously precludes their involvement in homeschooling. And most Americans apparently remain satisfied with their schools, in spite of a mixed academic record and the occasional reports of violence. In my next report, I'll look at the downside to homeschooling.
B. Now listen to the news report again. This time, focus on the specific example and answer the questions on the left column with keywords. Part 3. Education then and now. A. Here is a news report on how young students in the United States have been doing since 1969. Listen to the first part of the report and complete the following research findings.
For nearly 30 years now, the U.S. government has tested 9, 13, and 17-year-olds in reading, math, and science. The information that researchers glean from these tests is the closest thing this country has to a national report card on students' academic progress. Today, the Education Department released a lengthy study detailing how students have been doing since 1969. The government's test results are pretty mixed. Today's 9, 13, and 17-year-olds can add, subtract, multiply, and divide better than they could 30 years ago. As they get older, today's students are more skilled in basic geometry, using decimals, percentages, and fractions. In reading, scores improved during the 1970s and 80s, then they dropped and stayed flat for most of the 1990s. This means kids in all three age groups may have trouble locating and identifying facts from stories, or summarizing and explaining what they read. 9-year-olds today, however, do have a slightly better grasp of science than they did in 1969, when the first science test was given nationwide. But again, science scores for 13 and 17-year-olds
to us automatically, so it's just a simple step to making a trigger valve, which triggers the pneumatics to play and strum the guitar, or play the flute, or harmonica, or harp, or whatever.
But he's also a lifetime skeptic who began to collect these bizarre machines so that he could expose the trickery of quacks, fake healers, and con men and women. Bob McKay points out that the current information age of computers and hundreds of television channels has only multiplied fraudulent schemes that target desperately sick people.
So is the percentage of 17-year-olds enrolled in calculus, biology, and chemistry. Kids are even doing more homework than they did 30 years ago. In math, the gap between boys and girls has all but disappeared. In science, 13 and 17-year-old boys still do better than girls, but at age 9, there's no difference. Private school students outperformed public school students, but math and science scores for private school students have remained flat since 1980. Education Department officials say 3 more important reports are due. New fourth grade reading scores will be released in February. A state-by-state breakdown of math scores will be ready by May, and a fresh batch of science scores will follow.
C. Now listen to the whole news report. Answer the following questions.
For nearly 30 years now, the U.S. government has tested 9, 13, and 17-year-olds in reading, math, and science. The information that researchers glean from these tests is the closest thing this country has to a national report card on students' academic progress. Today, the Education Department released a lengthy study detailing how students have been doing since 1969. The government's test results are pretty mixed. Today's 9, 13, and 17-year-olds can add, subtract, multiply, and divide better than they could 30 years ago. As they get older, today's students are more skilled in basic geometry, using decimals, percentages, and fractions. In reading, scores improved during the 1970s and 80s, then they dropped and stayed flat for most of the 1990s. This means kids in all three age groups may have trouble locating and identifying facts from stories, or summarizing and explaining what they read. 9-year-olds today, however, do have a slightly better grasp of science than they did in 1969, when the first science test was given nationwide. But again, science scores for 13 and 17-year-olds have stalled. So, are students today smarter, better educated than they were 30 years ago? In some ways, it's like asking whether baseball players today are better than they were in the past.
But the Trends Report puts today's students in on the same...
To talk back to.
Ken Crockins, his musicians, never talk back to him.
12. To fiddle around with. To diagnose as.
After he fiddled around with these numbers and so forth, he diagnosed everybody who sent him the blood sample in as having cancer and syphilis.
13. To shake off one's image of the past as.
Museums in the United States are shaking off their image of the past as quiet places to contemplate works by the masters.
Education Department officials say three more important reports are due. New fourth grade reading scores will be released in February. A state-by-state breakdown of math scores will be ready by May, and a fresh batch of science scores will follow.
Part 4. Language Study and Language Appreciation. Listen to the following statements you have learned in the previous and present units. Pay special attention to the parts in bold type. Learn to appreciate and use the language.
1. To be cooped up.
That part I think I would like, because I don't like being cooped up.
2. To look over one's shoulder.
Because we're out there on the street and we don't have anybody looking over our shoulders.
3. A freshman in life.
In that way, you're sort of a freshman again in life.
4. A magnet for.
Urban areas are just magnets now for young people.
5. To strike a balance between.
I do think that it's important to strike a balance between what you've been told you want to do and figuring out really what you want.
6. A bolt out of the blue.
I went to college almost as a bolt out of the blue.
7. To zero in on.
He zeroed in on me, and he said, "Are you going to go to college?"
8. To have one's journalist hat on.
And one of the things I talk about often, what annoys me as a journalist, when I have my journalist hat on, is that people will ask the question.
9. To gain broad acceptance.
Patricia Lines, a senior research analyst at the U.S. Department of Education, says that in her view, homeschoolers are slowly gaining broad acceptance.
10. To test somebody in.
For nearly 30 years now, the U.S. government has tested 9, 13, and 17-year-olds in reading, math, and science.
11. Scores stay flat. Scores remain flat.
In reading, scores improved during the 1970s and 80s. Then they dropped and stayed flat for most of the 1990s. Private school students outperform public school students, but math and science scores for private school students have remained flat since 1980.